This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is an update about the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative, BARC, BARC, and the North Bay Wildfire Hotline, including coordination with the Southern California Wildfire Legal Hotline, recently launched. Let me give you a couple of the hotlines right now. I hope you're ready with pen or pencil and a piece of paper. The North Bay Hotline is 415-575-3120, 415-575-3120. The Southern California Hotline is 877-301-4448, 877-301-4448. Our guests are Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs and the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Teela Chalmers, CEO of the Alameda County Bar Association. She is the leader of the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. Dan Wade, insurance attorney and vice director of the American Bar Association Young Lawyers Division Disaster Legal Services Program. And down south, Cesar Labonte, directing attorney of the Ventura County Legal Aid Office. Let me give you that website for Cesar's office. It's vclegalaid.org, vclegalaid.org. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. And I welcome all of you to the program. And Cesar, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Chuck.
Well, you sound good here, too. You are in Ventura County right now, are you not?
That is correct.
Okay, let's do this. What we're going to do, everybody, we're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, January 10th. And if you haven't been on the program or heard the program before, I want to wish you Happy New Year to you, all of us. All of us, I hope it's a good 2018. I will be inviting you to call in, ask questions, make comments, etc., wherever you may be. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you are listening to us on the Internet at www.kalw.org, that's the same number for that. So let's do this. Let's start with kind of a brief summary of BARC, and what the hotline is, the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. Do we want to start with you, Teela, if you would, please?
Certainly, Chuck. So BARC was created as we began to think about how we needed to be able to provide legal services to the public in the aftermath of a disaster. Of course, we were preoccupied with thinking about earthquakes, and it turns out that there's been nothing but fires since we first came up with this idea. But we are a coalition of legal services providers, legal aides, and local bar associations, along with the State Bar of California, wanting to coordinate providing free legal help after a disaster. And so we responded, really, our first disaster was these North Bay fires. We created a hotline, which was housed at the Bar Association of San Francisco, and with free legal advice for folks who call. And then we've also been helping local legal aid organizations to put together various clinics on important topics that people typically grapple with after a disaster.
Cesar, what's going on down in your area? I know your hotline just became available as of, I think you told me yesterday, the 877-301-4448. What's going down in your happening down in your area?
You know, it's a Chuck. This is Cesar. We're impacted by a variety of different problems, landlord-tenant issues, especially tenants having issues pertaining to their property or problems with their landlord have been numerous, and presently, one of the major calls to legal aid here. Many questions about what the FEMA declarations mean and how they impact individuals on a local level. You know, individuals struggling to interpret their insurance policies, fears of underinsurance, those are the immediate issues that we've heard of in our clinics and our newly formed hotline here.
Are you finding at this point that FEMA is being significantly helpful down there?
You know, the impact is hard to determine. From a legal standpoint here and the hotline, we've had the most help coming from the Office of Legal Services at the state level. And I know that there is some frustration locally for the recent denial of individual assistance.
So for people who have received a denial of individual assistance, what suggestion do you have for them?
Can I clarify
please,
one thing, Chuck?
If you would do that, Tila,
sure.
Please.
So FEMA has two layers of, or the world has two layers of disaster declaration through FEMA. The first thing, which happened in both Northern and Southern California, is that a disaster is declared for purposes of public assistance, and that opens the doors to federal money flowing to state and local authorities to respond to the disaster. The next level is called the Individual Assistance Declaration, and that happened in Northern California but was recently denied in Southern California. When an individual assistance declaration happens, it opens the door to individual people being able to apply for FEMA cash assistance. And that is an assistance-based grant that has certain prerequisites but can bring in, you know, several thousand dollars of help to help people. To an individual. Mm-hmm. But for a variety of complicated and perhaps not so defensible reasons, the federal government denied the request for an individual declaration in Southern California. And so people are not going to be eligible for those FEMA cash benefits. They may still be able to get benefit cash assistance from the Red Cross, for example, mm-hmm. or other sources, but they will not be able to get FEMA-based assistance.
Do you have any understanding of why?
Over to Dan.
Yeah, Dan, please.
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. So the individual assistance program, which delivers, among other things, the cash grants. It also activates the Disaster Legal Services Program through the American Bar Association. That program typically is activated when the preliminary damage assessment, that is, it's conducted by the governor's Office of Emergency Services, and usually in coordination with FEMA. They look at the uninsured number, and they also look at the extent of the damage. Now, it's...
When you say the uninsured number, what do you mean by that?
Well, they're trying to get a snapshot, which at this point we believe is incomplete, of how many of the affected households...
Are uninsured. Okay, gotcha.
But unfortunately, what that sort of crude methodology leaves out is people who are maybe underinsured, people who may need disaster unemployment, and it also is the case that for those who would want to have the assistance of the American Bar Association's Disaster Legal Services Program, it won't be officially implemented. Now, that said, what Cesar and his team are doing down in Ventura is sort of doing their own thing, because FEMA is not going to be there to support that program.
Well, that's very unfortunate. Tila, you mentioned to me that the state bar has become very aggressive in trying to help people, and the website is www.calbar.ca.gov. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
So that site's a great spot to start when you're looking for good resources. about the fire. The State Bar has an Office of Legal Services, which has been very, very active in planning and helping to organize. They're reaching out and coordinating calls right now with Southern California. They've done the same with Northern California. So that's a good place to start to look for resources. Another great resource I want to just mention, Chuck, is the law firm of Morrison and Forrester worked really hard all over nights and weekends to put together a helping handbook for survivors of disasters. It's about 100 pages, and it's really got a ton of information on a whole variety of areas. You can find that probably in a number of places by Googling Helping Handbook MOFO.
That's the title of it.
Yes, Helping Handbook. The law firm of Morrison & Forrester likes to be known as MOFO, M-O-F-O. You can definitely find it also at lawhelpca.org, lawhelpca.org.
So lawhelpca is all one, essentially
all
one
word.
Okay.
.org. And when you go to that website, you'll see it first thing. It's the first thing that comes up.
All right. United Policyholders, when we did a program a few weeks ago, when we were first talking about BARC, what is United Policyholders? And there is a website, uphelp.org, uphelp.org. Dan, what's that all about? What's United Policyholders?
Sure. So United Policyholders, my employer, is a nonprofit organization that was born out of the Oakland Hills fire. And it was designed to be an education and advocacy organization for insurance consumers. So a lot of issues arise in the insurance claim process, not limited to underinsurance, coverage questions, uncooperative adjusters. And really, even if it's not an adversarial process necessarily, it's a steep learning curve for individuals. After all, insurance companies are experts at the claim process, and most people, this is the first time they've ever filed a claim.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, would be different than your routine fender bender. And so our goal as an organization is to give people guidance along the way to help set their expectations about the, for most people, 2 to 3 year process that they have ahead of them, the types of decisions they're going to have to make. They're going to, how a lot, you know, money is going to be thrown at them, and understanding what it means and how to maximize their insurance benefits. Those are all the things that we strive to do as an organization. And we do it on the website, in the Claim Help Library, the uphelp.org website. And we also do it through public workshops and clinics, which we've implemented.
And
in
this
both
is available to anyone in the state of California.
Correct. We're technically a national organization, but we do a lot of our work in California. And right now we're heavily engaged with both of these wildfires.
There are some clinics coming up in the next few days, Dan. Could you tell us how do people find out about them? Where can they go? Because I know they're in the next, I think it's next week, there's going to be one or a couple of them next week. Tell us about that, will you?
Yeah, so we have done a series in Northern California. All of the clinics and public workshops are going to be at uphelp.org. There's a North Bay Fires page that you can click on, and there's also now a Southern California Fires page. So in Northern California, the upcoming events are Wednesday, January 17th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Unitarian Church, 547 Mendocino Avenue. That will be focused on smoke damage claims.
That is where, in Sonoma?
In Santa Rosa.
Okay.
Going in order, on January 22nd in Southern California, we'll be doing the first workshop down there, and it's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, Ventura County Hall of Administration. That's at 800 South Victoria Avenue in Ventura. And then on January 23rd, we'll be hosting a workshop at the Yountville Community Center. So that will be for folks on the Napa side. That's 6516 Washington Street in Yountville, also from 6 to 8 p.m. And then finally, we have January 25th also in Santa Rosa, and we're moving from the Unitarian Church, for anyone who's been to our previous workshops, to Santa Rosa High School.
And again, Dan, how do people, you know, you've given quite a bit of information in the last 2 minutes. How do they then find out about this again?
So if you go to uphelp.org,
yes,
there is a landing page on the front for both the Northern California and the Southern California wildfires. So click there, and at the top of the page, all the workshops are listed with flyers.
Well, let me do this now. For those of you who unfortunately may have been afflicted with this and are survivors of the wildfires, and, of course, now we have certainly in Santa Barbara tremendous floods with the latest I heard today was in, I believe, it's Temecula, I believe. Maybe I have the wrong...
Temecula is in northern San Diego County.
I'm sorry.
Montecito.
Pardon me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Montecito, apparently 20 homes have been destroyed by the floods. So what I'd like to do is invite you, if you are have been affected, or your friends or your family have been affected by this, at this point, feel free to call in, ask a question, make a comment. This is where perhaps if you have a question, probably you are one of many persons who has a question or comment to make. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. While you are thinking about making that call, let me give you the hotline numbers again for both of the major hotlines that we have at this point. For the North Bay hotline, that's 415-575-3120. For Southern California, that's 877-301-4448. And the helping handbook, I presume, Tila, that is free.
Yes, absolutely.
That will be sent to people by what? The Mojo firm?
MOFO.
Or MOFO, pardon me.
You can download it there, and many of the legal aid organizations will have copies
will
as
they?
Well.
Okay. Yeah. So again, if you want that, go to lawhelpca.org, lawhelpca.org, for the book Helping Handbook, and hopefully you can get a copy of that. What are you, Caesar, doing with respect to most of the problems that your office has been confronted with in Ventura County? Is that renters are having tenant problems? What are you trying to do to help them?
You know, what we do is first do an intake and assess the situation. Try and listen to the individual. We know a lot of them have, you know, suffered this traumatic experience of, you know, first these fires and, you know, followed up with these, you know, heavy rains, and for some individuals, flooding, and for some, severe flooding. And obviously we've all heard at this point what has happened in Santa Barbara County and Montecito specifically. What we try and do is if we have a resource that's available for them, we give it to them, at least let them know of their rights. If it's a particularly egregious situation and there's a legal organization that already helps with this specific thing, we certainly will make a referral to them. In other cases, I will use either our local attorney volunteers acquired through the Ventura County Bar Association or Ventura County Legal Aid throughout the years. And in some cases, perhaps if one of those local ones is not available, we will reach out to a list that has recently been provided to us on the state level of attorneys who have skills in these particular situations, and I will reach out to them, see if they are willing to at least take a call and go from there. We allow the attorneys to choose whether they become further involved, and always invite the client to reach back out to us if that hasn't satisfied them or they still have a different legal issue or another legal issue, which in numerous cases, it's not just one thing. It's many different legal issues.
Tila, please.
Well, I was going to just fill in with what Caesar said by mentioning a few of the general rules about landlord-tenant issues, since it sounds like that's a huge issue down south, and it certainly was for us and continues to be for us up here. In essence, if you are a tenant and the home, the place you're staying is completely destroyed,
mm-hmm.
In some environments that's called being red tagged, or it's just clearly in the fires there were buildings that were completely burned down, then the tenancy is terminated. Even if you had a lease that was supposed to go on for a number of months.
This is state law.
State law. The okay. tenancy is terminated. Now, the definition of destroyed may be in your lease, and so it will be important to look at that. Of course, your lease may also have been destroyed, and so it becomes a question of hopefully the landlord has a copy. But if it's completely destroyed, the tenancy is terminated. What that means is the tenant doesn't have a right to move back in, but it also means the tenant does not have to pay any more rent because mm-hmm. the tenancy is ended. And in fact, if the destroying thing happened, let's say, on the 7th of January and you paid your rent on the 1st of January, you're actually entitled to a rebate for some of that rent.
For the
difference.
Okay.
If, however, and this is frequently the case, particularly in floods, if the property is not completely destroyed but partly damaged,
mm-hmm.
And that's usually what you would consider to be happening when you get what's called a yellow tag.
Caution.
Caution. Can't come in here just, everything isn't peachy, but it's not condemned, essentially. If it's yellow tagged and it's partly damaged, then the tenancy is not terminated. That means the tenant still owes the rent, and the landlord has a duty to repair anything that's wrong. So that could be
so the tenant doesn't have the responsibility in that situation to make the repair.
Not at all. Not at all. Mm-hmm. The only time tenants have some obligation is if they themselves created the problem.
Oh,
and obviously,
sure.
Here that is not the situation. So the landlord has a duty to repair, keep the premises in a habitable condition. And so if there's water, if there's smoke damage, if there's mud, those things, it's the landlord's responsibility to fix. The tricky part comes, of course, when the landlord needs the tenant to be out in order
yes,
to fix those
sure.
things. And much of that will be a negotiation. The tenant can negotiate paying less rent. The landlord may want to provide a place, or the landlord may not want to provide it, but will dial back the rent. That is often a negotiation that happens, but the tenant needs to, both sides need to approach it understanding that the repair is the landlord's responsibility.
So if the repair is the landlord's responsibility and the repair requires that the tenants cannot be in there while the repairs are being made, under California law, does the landlord have the responsibility to find the tenant somewhere else to live and to pay that rent that may be required?
Generally, no. There is no state law requiring you to do that, there may be other factors that come into play, and that's why it turns into a negotiation.
Okay, so hopefully people will be negotiating with each other and have a under these terrible circumstances, a good communication. Carol, please.
Hi. Yeah, so I thought it relevant to point out that not all jurisdictions are created equal in California in terms of landlord-tenant laws.
Unfortunately.
So there are just cause jurisdictions with rent ordinances and rent control, and so it's always a good idea to obtain a consultation, depending where you are, as to what your rights are in terms of any cost abatement or withholding rent and or some sort of...
When you say obtaining a consultation, with what or with whom?
An attorney.
Attorney.
Legal consultation. Obviously, we know lawyer referral services are available for that kind of assistance. But, yeah, it's always helpful to remember that There is the state law, but then, of course, where you live and what county in terms of the rent ordinance, there being one or not being one in terms of
With regard to BARC, the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative, which has been doing a lot of very fine work in the North Bay Area here in California, how many attorneys have been involved, private attorneys involved, who are willing to essentially donate their time? What percentage, I should say, of these attorneys are available to help people who need legal help with just donating their services?
So we've had an incredible outpouring. We put out a you know, in articles and social media that we needed attorney volunteers, and we immediately got more than 400 people signing
up. That's outstanding.
And that does not even count the
means
attorneys.
Pro bono
attorneys, right. And that does not even count the attorneys who already were active with United Policyholders and San Francisco trial lawyers who came in that way. So it's been an outstanding expression of interest.
Cesar, what's going on down in your area in terms of attorneys being willing to volunteer and help those persons who have been the survivors of fires and or the floods, from what you know?
You know, rather quickly, the Poinsettia Pavilion set up a local assistance center, and that was housed by, you know, a local nonprofit and a lot of government entities. So that was doing a lot of the groundwork on the immediate level. We have, in similar fashion, developed lists here of attorneys with different specialties and how they can anticipate helping individuals out. We're still collecting names and individuals to this day and still getting individuals signing up. And, you know, almost more complicated than getting the volunteers is matching their skills to the need out there. But we are absolutely just so thankful for the outpour of our local community here.
So when you say matching the skills for what's needed, who is doing the matching?
You know, some of the volunteers that are helping with the hotline itself.
I see. The
volunteers.
Okay.
So you might have a more general lawyer with maybe civil experience, and they're then looking through their list of attorneys who have volunteered and seeing, you know, what need does this individual have and which attorney on my list, based on what their skill set is going to be able to best address this individual's issue.
What would you say, from what you've learned so far, and I realize you don't have all the statistics on this, but in terms of persons who are survivors of the wildfires in your area, in Ventura County, what percentage of those persons who, let's say, were homeowners, what percentage of them were either uninsured or underinsured? Do you know?
You know, I don't have any accurate data as to that.
I see.
You know, everyone I've spoken to so far had some form of homeowner's insurance.
I see.
That I have had contact with. But we have gotten a few individuals who their policy declarations, they do not believe they'll be able to rebuild with that amount. But, you know, we're just starting to connect individuals with insurance questions with the volunteer attorneys and have gotten no data back as to results related to those inquiries and those matches or connections.
Carol, please.
I just wanted to bring out also that in times of disaster, there is the span of humanity that wants to help. And so while we had an initial outpouring, 400 attorneys, it was truly moving to see that happen. There also have been reports around fraud and scamming, and some attorneys who may not have your most, you know, your best interest at heart. So to just be aware that these hotlines also, along, of course, with the Office of Legal Services at the State Bar, are designed with the idea of consumer protection embedded, and that that is a reliable source for you, resource for you, and as well as the websites we've been giving out in terms of resources and things, you know, trusted places to call.
So
are you saying
that the website to call for help, if I understand, would to see if you can get some legal help and not be defrauded, is it the www.calbar.ca.gov to go to?
Well, absolutely, the state bar has its web page, and I highly recommend it, of course, that people mm-hmm. can get some good information there. But I'm also emphasizing to contact the hotlines.
These hotlines
are associated, again, with local bar associations and or legal aid societies, yeah. and they are the trusted source generally in the communities. And I just wanted to make a not to instill fear in everybody, but
sure.
there are those elements that you have to be aware of. We have to be realistic.
Yep. That's unfortunately something that we have to be aware of. Without question, the major listenership of this program is for listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area, and fortunately, this has not hit the San Francisco Bay Area. And that's why, at this point, we have not gotten one call. So let me give you our phone number again. Wherever you may be in the state of California, if you have been, if you are a survivor of either the wildfire or now, of course, the flooding that's going on, certainly in Southern California. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. 8255. If you're listening to the program via the internet at www.kalw.org, that is also the same number, toll-free, 866-798-8255. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco, you may want to jot down this number, 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. Fortunately, also, San Mateo County has not been affected by the wildfires or the flooding, but the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. I bring this up because, well, both the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association are funders of your legal rights. But the value of lawyer referral services is extremely valuable throughout the state of California. And with just minor exception, every county, excluding maybe a couple in the state of California, have a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find an attorney who's experienced in the area and set you up for half an hour consultation. With minor exception, you will pay for the half hour somewhere in the state of California, somewhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that service going, which is a great public service. And if you have a legal problem, it's a great way to educate yourself, both as to your rights and obligations. And it's something that I hope you will keep in mind should you need it. And again, we are very shy of calls. Last week when we were doing this program, it was New Year's time, and we didn't have many calls because people were on holiday. Hopefully, I guess what our audience tonight is primarily people not in the wildfire area or the flooding area. But certainly feel free to call in and ask questions. If you have generally questions about legal aid or lawyer referral, feel free to call in at this point because I have authorities here as guests on the program who can give you some direction. Let me tell you, if you tuned in late, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing an update about the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative, BARC, B-A-R-C, and the North Bay Wildfire Hotline, including coordination with the Southern California Wildfire Legal Hotline, which was recently launched. The North Bay Hotline is 415-575-3120. The California Hotline for Southern California is 877-301-4448, 877-301-4448. And my guests are Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs and the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Tila Chalmers, CEO of the Alameda County Bar Association. She's also the leader of the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. Dan Wade, insurance attorney and vice director of the American Bar Association Young Lawyers Division Disaster Legal Services Program. And down south in Ventura County is Cesar Libinati, directing attorney of the Ventura County Legal Aid. And that website for you, if you'd like to get in touch with them by the website, is vclegalaid.org. And all right, I've been asked to repeat the websites and the for CalBAR, California State Bar. It's www.calbar.ca.gov, and that would be for the Office of Legal Services. For insurance, it's uphelp.org. Pardon me. And for FEMA, pardon me, what is it?
Well, and for questions related to FEMA or other issues, I would say it's our Northern California number, 415-575-3120.
And I thought it worthy to mention, too, that, you know, we have the two primary areas, at least in Northern California, which I think not going to be too dissimilar from Southern California in terms of illegal issues are, you know, mortgage and home, insurance matter, mortgage and insurance matters, and then landlord-tenant. So I wanted to think about, I know Dan has some interesting information about if your home is damaged and what you do if you have, the insurance company has assessed it with their appraiser at a certain amount, and then perhaps that amount, in fact, is not what you believe to be the value of the damage.
Would you talk about that, Dan?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the, I would say, reality checks that occurs in the insurance claim process is that the insurance company, contrary to the advertisements that we have grown accustomed to seeing, doesn't wave a magic wand and give you all the money that you need and then, go on their merry way. They will pay various portions of the claim in various stages, and each stage requires some work on the part of the homeowner. So the appraisal issue comes into play where you have, and this is different than a real estate appraisal, where you have a dispute with the insurance company about how much it's going to cost to rebuild. So let's take some numbers. If you have a $500,000 policy limit and the insurance company runs their numbers, their computer might say, we think you can rebuild your house for $400,000. Now, you go to a contractor that you want to use, and the contractor says, well, I actually think it's going to cost $500,000. And so one of the procedures that's part of the standard fire policy in the state of California is appraisal. Now, it is mandatory on the part of the insurer, meaning that the homeowner can request it and the insurance company has to go through the process. It is not mandatory for a disaster on the homeowner. So if the insurance company asks for an appraisal, if you've lost your home in either of these fires, which are both state declared disasters, you don't have to go through it. But if you do choose to go through it, what it is like is an alternative dispute resolution where you have a neutral umpire, you bring an appraiser, The insurance company brings an appraiser, and you go through the estimate to rebuild your house. Or sometimes you can use it for your personal property if you're having disputes over the value of large items. And you present evidence that says, I need this much. And the insurance company says, well, our evidence is that you only need this much. And so then you have a non-binding decision, but you've had a neutral umpire look at the situation. And in a lot of cases, it's a more cost-effective way to resolve a claim dispute than going through the normal litigation process.
Are you saying, Dan, that going to alternative dispute resolution, that more often than not, insurance companies will go along with this if the whoever is handling the alternative dispute resolution, that's a neutral person, is in favor of the homeowner? Are you saying that more often than not, the insurance companies will go along with that decision of the whoever is officiating at the alternative dispute resolution?
Sure. I mean, I'm not sure, how often they come around to the insureds, to the homeowner's number. But in many cases, it is going to be effective for homeowners. And in a lot of cases, if a homeowner is thinking about suing their insurance company over a dispute, the appraisal clause in the policy is actually a condition precedent to filing a lawsuit.
I see.
So sometimes it becomes evidence. The appraisal award becomes evidence in the lawsuit.
Is it common in homeowners insurance for the value of the structure or whatever the insurance may be? Is it mandatory in most policies that the insurance company agree to go with the homeowner to alternative dispute resolution to one of these meetings?
Yes. If the policyholder, the homeowner, requests the appraisal, the insurance company has to participate.
I see. Okay, very good. Let's take our first call. Mickey, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there. Thank you so much for this program.
You're welcome.
We've had just some terrible disasters, and I really appreciate your reaching out all the way down the state into Southern California where they have such a great need. I wanted to ask a question. I was not part of any of the big fires. I live in San Francisco, but on Christmas morning at 1 in the morning, three houses across the street from me burnt.
And in San Francisco?
Real wake-up call on many levels.
Was this in San Francisco?
In San Francisco,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And
I
you know, I've taken, NERT, and I had like a go bag of tools, for doing light search and rescue and stuff like that. But, I realized, I wasn't prepared for the fact that if the fire had jumped across the street, I could have lost everything. And I quickly grabbed, some medicines and some identification, my social security card and stuff. But, it's possible you might not even be home if your house catches on fire.
Of course.
Right? And so can your guests suggest what people can best do to safeguard, things like their paperwork and their insurance and other kinds of documents, because, we've had these hacks, and I kind of wonder, is it safe to scan things up into iCloud? It would just be good to hear from you, should we all get safe deposit boxes, or what is the best way to be prepared for disaster, whether or not we happen to be in the home at the time?
Mickey, Dan will respond to this.
Sure. I think one of the most important things, at least from the insurance standpoint, is to have done at some point recently an inventory. Now, you can do that in sort of the old-fashioned way of taking a video camera around the house and just sort of saying, I'm in this room and I have these things. But there's also technology that will assist with that. Actually, at the uphelp.org website, there's a link to a free app that we developed where people can inventory room by room, item by item, all of their stuff, and it gets uploaded and lives on the cloud. So, and the reason this is really important is because one of the most laborious parts of the insurance claim process is creating an inventory of all of your stuff, because the insurance company is going to require, in most cases, that you itemize everything that was in your house, and you prove to them in some way that you owned these things. And since many of us, you know, if your receipts burned up, or you didn't buy things on a credit card, then, and you know maybe your pictures were of your house were lost as well, you know, having this living somewhere else, on the cloud, or if you do it, with a video camera or with a normal camera, to put those things, like you suggest, in a safety deposit box, it will make the process a lot easier.
Dan, let me ask you this, though. Even if you have the video camera, or you put it up on a cloud, or you put it in a safety deposit box, the insurance company is going to question the value of it. Are you saying that when someone documents what their possessions are, at the same time they should put what they believe is the value of the item?
Yes, and our app does allow you to do that. It allows you to put in serial numbers and all kinds of things.
Really?
And one of the things, you make a good point, because what the insurance companies will do is, when you submit the inventory, they are going to go down the list and they're going to depreciate everything. They're basically going to do the Craigslist value of all of your stuff.
Which is next to nothing, maybe.
In some cases.
Yeah.
And so, and the way the process works is, most policies that pay on a replacement cost basis, you're able to recoup the full retail value. But what you have to do is take the money you get that's depreciated, and then you have to go buy an item, and then you have to submit a receipt to the insurance company. So it can be.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it can be a very long process.
Well, sure.
But if you prove that, you know, I had this, you know, TV, and to buy a new one, it's going to cost this much, that's mm-hmm. what you're entitled to, as long as you go through the
that's
process.
That's very valuable. Very
Can
valuable.
I ask one follow-up
Go ahead, Mickey.
That?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a really great suggestion, because I hadn't even thought about the inventory of things. But what about, like, the paperwork for, you know, like, I don't know, just even proof of, you know, my birth certificate and my housing insurance and, you know, well, financial accounts are probably squared away online, but do you recommend like scanning all these documents and keeping them up in iCloud, or keeping things on a jump drive or some kind of a DVD in a safe deposit box?
Yeah, that's one approach. Now, your insurance policy is something that can be recreated. You know, that you are allowed to ask for a copy of the policy. So that's
from your
insurance company or agent. So that's something you could get after the fact. But the more things that you would keep in the cloud or in a physical location other than your home, is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of declared disasters, you know, or at least large enough disasters where there's a local assistance center, a lot of times the government agencies will come in and they'll, you know, the DMV will be there and they'll say, okay, well, we can give you a new driver's license and all of that stuff. But in the case it's just a small neighborhood fire or a one-off house fire, you won't necessarily have access to those.
Right.
I would also say, Nikki, that you know, some of the things that you're the most sensitive about, your passport or your birth certificate, if it makes you nervous, then don't, because you can get other copies. It just takes time and shoe leather to do that. But things that where you might have a conflict with the other person are the things that I would scan, like the insurance policy, like a lease,
like your
mortgage. Documentation. Yes, they exist, but if you think that you might be in a dispute with the other party to that contract, you don't want to be in the position of being without them. So,
Okay.
All right. One thing I want to do, Martin, who helps me on the program, he assists on the program. He's a production assistant, brought a little note in here. Please repeat whereabouts of the app that Dan has cited. So get ready, everybody, for this. We have referred this to you before, but it's uphelp, uphelp.org. uphelp.org.
And I will add that it is, if you go to the iTunes or App Store or the Google Play Store on your Android phone and type in UP help as one word, you'll also find it there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Right. That's wonderful. We're going to take another call, Mickey. Thank you very much for calling. Very, very good question that you posed to us. Maggie, welcome to the program.
Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a home in a wildfire area, and I can only get surplus market insurance. And I just obtained a replacement policy, so I'm good for this year. However, it's been very difficult to obtain insurance. And so I'm wondering if the lawyers could speak to what's going on to help homeowners obtain insurance when the insurers don't want to insure us any longer.
Maggie, let me ask you this. Your home is in the wildfire area?
Yes, up in the Tahoe area.
In the Tahoe area, oh.
Mm-hmm.
But it has not been damaged, is that right?
No.
However, the insurance companies are so worried about this that they don't... do you have insurance on your home right now?
Yeah, I do, but it's extremely difficult to get insurance because there's a class, fire class system, and we're in a class 10, which is very high.
That's the worst.
We can only get surplus market out of California insurance.
Wow.
So
wow.
Every year for the last 5 years, it's been very difficult. And, you know, every year it's nerve-wracking to get the insurance. And so I'm just wondering if the lawyers can speak about this.
Dan, would you talk about this for Maggie, if you would, please?
Absolutely. So this is a big issue, and it only seems to be getting bigger.
Yeah.
Our organization is working with a governor's task force that was set up that involves 10 of the tree mortality counties. And many of them are Tahoe counties. As well as in areas even, you know, such as the Oakland Hills that abut wildland areas, to try to figure out how to solve this problem. Because as you mentioned, you can only get a policy from the surplus lines market. We're seeing an increase in that and the anxiety that results from having to shop every year. And we're seeing people that who might have been with one of the major carriers for 20 years who are getting a non-renewal notice, and they're having to shop around and in many cases don't have very many options. So there are a couple things that are happening. One is that the Department of Insurance is pursuing some regulatory action at the urging of United Policyholders and the tree mortality counties to look at how they can stabilize the market. There was a piece of legislation that was introduced on January 3rd, just a week ago, that will do, you know, who knows if it will go anywhere, but if it does, it will hopefully do some things to stabilize the market. So there's a lot of work being done, and the powers that be are aware of the issue. I would say in the meantime, one of the tips that I would give generally is to connect with an independent insurance agent, someone who sells multiple lines of insurance. And it may be the case that surplus lines is still the only option, or the California Fair Plan, which is the insurer of last resort. But in many cases, people are able to find insurance in the traditional market. If they sometimes go away from, you know, the name brands that we're used to hearing.
Dan, if you would do this briefly, because we're coming very close to the end of the program. How does one know if you are underinsured?
Sure. So underinsurance is one of the big issues that comes out after disasters. We saw so many instances after 2003 and 2007 that we helped the Department of Insurance issue some regulations, which we hope will fix the problem. But basically, what happens is that, you know, in the hypothetical I described earlier, you have $500,000 worth of coverage, and the contractor says, in order to get even close to the house that you had before, it's going to cost $700,000. So what do people do in that situation? So you know, before you suffer a loss, one thing you can do is to talk to a local contractor in your area, ask them to ballpark the dollar per square foot, and see how that matches up to your insurance coverage. I went through this exercise myself. I live in the East Bay Hills, and I was almost 50% under what most contractors were quoting me for a rebuild. So I went in, I asked my agent to up the coverage. I'm paying a little bit more premium every year, but in the case that a wildfire comes roaring over the hill and takes out our whole neighborhood, we'll be in a better position to rebuild than we would have otherwise been.
Okay, let me read one more thing. We have about a couple of minutes left at most of the program, unfortunately. I read a news article. This is someone who's submitted this to us. I read a news article about a nightmarish situation about one family who lost their home. To replace their personal property, the family was not paid a lump sum by the insurance company. It insisted on a complete inventory with receipts for each item replaced. This was cumbersome and laborious. It took several years to compile a list of 10,000 items, and some items had little monetary value but great sentimental value, photos, wedding dress, etc. Is this typical? It seems like a lot of families would be bereft of full compensation. This doesn't seem fair. What comments, Dan, do you have about that?
Well, you're right. I mean, this whole idea that you have to create an inventory item by item and go through the process I described of depreciation and replacing items is, it's really designed to be an anti-fraud measure. And so it doesn't seem to really fit into the wildfire situation. So what the Department of Insurance was able to negotiate for the wildfires this time around was a 25% advance. And then what they did is they issued a notice on in early December saying they want everybody to pay 100%. And so we'll see how many companies honor this. It doesn't have the force of law, but certainly the insurance commissioner takes the view that this process should be made much easier for people than it is.
All right. Again, the hotlines, 877-301-4448 for Southern California, the Ventura. For North Bay, 415-575-3120. I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs and the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Tila Chalmers, CEO of the Alameda County Bar Association, leader of the BARC, and not with a K, but a B-A-R-C. Dan Wade, insurance attorney, vice director of the American Bar Association Young Lawyers Division, Disaster Legal Services Program, and Cesar Labonte, directing attorney of the Ventura County Legal Aid. Thank you all very much for being on the program with us. It's been great to have you here. If you want to hear this program again, it's available free as a podcast at www.klw.org/subscribe. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. I hope you will join us next time. For next week, we are going to be doing a program on, believe it or not, the new federal tax law, everybody. Will most of us pay more or less in federal taxes for 2018? I hope you join us for that. I'm Chuck Finney.